Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
Let's go. What a recruiting weekend it was for LSU. They bring in Derek Meadows, a 247 Sports five-star receiver. He actually makes some history here. You don't really know of too many LSU wide receivers that have committed from the West Coast, but he is one of the few. He's also the first 247 Sports five-star receiver that has committed to LSU, obviously, since DeCorian Moore earlier this year. But if he were to sign, he would be the first to sign since Kayshawn Boutte in 2020. And you see right now, overall, a really good recruiting weekend. LSU third in the national ranking, second in the SEC. Obviously, Jabari Antoine decided to go to Miami. I'll talk a little bit more about that because I did like Antoine as a prospect. I love the profile of a top 100 Louisiana player almost any time. But the truth here with DJ Pickett and then, of course, Derek Meadows, the fact that you get two top 50 guys in a calendar week, none of which are from Louisiana, by the way, one from Las Vegas, another from Florida. That's some really daggum good recruiting. You're taking a look at the recruiting class right now. And I shared this stat earlier in the weekend as well. LSU currently has 10 top 125 recruits, 10. In Brian Kelly's first couple of recruiting class, the most he had was 6. So Brian Kelly has already doubled the amount of top 125 guys that he has gotten in his prior two recruiting classes. So that is nothing short of incredible. Brian Kelly taking our recruiting to the next level. Okay? So we'll talk about Jabari Antoine, all that good stuff. But there is a breaking news story, and it is very serious. So, like I always say, obviously, if it's a very serious story with an LSU Tiger, there is a tendency for us as, you know, viewers and fans of the channel and fans of the program to want to protect the player. Understand that I try my best to be as objective as I possibly can when it comes to any big breaking news story. And this one is really big of a player who very well could be a starter next year for LSU. So Javian Toviano was arrested for video voyeurism per Unfiltered with Kieran. And obviously everyone else has reported this, the Associated Press, WAFB, and so on and so on. So in two separate occasions in early July, so just, you know, a few weeks ago, Toviano recorded a video of sexual intercourse on July 5th and July 6th, a camera that was hidden in a clock. And she then found the videos on his iPad, which is crazy. This story is absolutely bizarre. And she then turned it into the police. Toviano turned himself into East Baton Rouge prison on July 21st. He then posted a $10,000 bond. On the condition of his bond to Toviano, can I have anything to do with the victim tied to the charge? All right. So, look, we're all going to have our theories about what happened. What I would tell you, though, is I understand it is very easy to point the finger at Toviano and say, how dumb are you? How dumb are you to do something like this? But we do not know the facts. So I'm not sitting here defending Javian Toviano. But while what I just said were the facts, that is just the facts from one side. We have not heard from Toviano. We have only heard from LSU, and they released a statement saying that Javian Toviano is indeed suspended. So we will see what comes of this for Javian Toviano. We will. All right. But I am not going to fully character assassinate this guy for a 19-year-old or doing something where there could be a lot of different other scenarios that played out in that situation. But this is very serious. Obviously, you should not do this. You should not film a sexual act without the consent of the other party. And honestly, you know, to prevent this, you should just not film any sexual act. That is a private act. But some people like to do that. If you're an adult and you want to do that, sure. We all have our opinions of what's happened here. But what I would tell you is at this point in time, do we expect Javian Toviano to play for LSU next year? 60% of you say yes, that you do see him on the field next year for LSU. I don't know. I don't know at this point. But I can give you the football side of this. It is a massive loss. And I understand during spring, and we talked about this last week, a three-star true freshman had surpassed him in the depth chart last spring. Okay, so he had been passed up recently. And that is very interesting to me. But at the same time, he did start three games last year. He did play in big, high-leverage situations versus really good competition. This is a top 50 defensive back going into year two of his development. So I will be honest, he is a very nice piece for the LSU equation. But like we always say, the more serious stuff, you shouldn't do that. And the only thing I will say, the only thing where I will not defend Toviano really at all is if he did indeed send this video to other people. All right? There's no defending that. There's absolutely, positively no defending that. So, number one, you should never do this. Number two, you definitely shouldn't send it to someone else. You shouldn't. So, it's if he did that, then you have to cut all ties with him. I mean, there's just no other way around it. But we'll see what exactly comes of this for Javian Toviano. But yeah, you know, this would be something else I would say. Is there a scenario where he could come out like as if he was the one wronged or set up or something like that? Yeah, I guess you could come up with theories where his side of the story absolves him from this situation. So we'll let this story play out, but it is very relevant because LSU has a football game coming up in 40 days versus a high-powered passing attack. The single most productive play caller of the modern era, you could make a very strong case that it is Lincoln Riley with all the Heisman Trophy winners and all of that. Either way, he is a top 10 play caller in the sport. So we need as many defensive players as we possibly can get, especially one going into year two with a lot of playing time from the year before. Now, as we always do, anything that you want to talk about, we will get to it. I know a lot of you have your opinions on this story. I've shared mine. This is an open chat. but we want to be respective of all parties involved in the situation. Okay. Now, we gave out this card. I'm mailing it out tomorrow to John Sibley Butler. He was the winner of the Derek Dillon autograph card. It's my only Derek Dillon auto. You guys know I love the hidden heroes of LSU football. What are we going to give away today? Should I give away this? Let's do let's do an autographed Jay Bramblett card. So I want to talk some special teams tonight. We'll do an autographed Jay Bramblett card. First $20 super chat, we'll give out an autographed Jay Bramblett. Because LSU's special teams could take a step back without their punter the last two seasons. Okay? Now, Jared said you weren't hiding a camcorder back in the day. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Camera phones, it is such a different world with camera phones now. Billy, what's good? Chronic, good to see you. Mick, he says, I hate off-season news. That's the bad thing about college football off seasons. Roy wore his old school PHL shirt. I like it. The bad thing about college football off seasons, if there is news about a player currently on the team, it's normally not good news. Unless it's so-and-so preseason All-American team. Normally, it's not good news. What I will say, though, is I understand that this now becomes the second player in the 2023 recruiting class that has been arrested. So obviously Trey Holly is the other. I will say this, okay? You take a look at where the program was with arrest. So I went up and looked at the LSU recruiting classes from 2012 to 2020. And what I decided to do was look at players who were either...
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Are arrested or suspended from 2012 to 2020. Now, full disclosure, I did not include very minor charges in this count. So if you're arrested for weed, I didn't include that. And not arrested, but suspended from the team for failing a drug test. I didn't include it in this data. All right. But for the most part, from 2012 to 2020, recruits in those classes averaged 4.2 arrests or suspensions per recruiting class. Let me repeat. From 2012 to 2020, LSU averaged 4.2 arrests or suspensions per recruiting class. Under Brian Kelly, from 2021 to 2023, LSU has had a total of 4 arrests or suspensions. All right. Which comes out to 1.3 arrest suspensions per recruiting class. So under Brian Kelly, LSU went from 4.2 to 1.3. So this was a question that I got a lot of today. Is there something going wrong with LSU? Because this is the second arrest in this 2023 recruiting class? The answer is the opposite is true. LSU has cleaned up their program. Now, we are dealing with a smaller sample size, 2012 to 2020. Obviously, there are still a lot of guys in the 2021, 2022, and 2023 recruiting class that are still playing, so something else could happen. But even though it is a small sample size, and we're still early in the 2021, 2022, and 2023 class, Brian Kelly seems to have recruited higher character people. Once again, I say with the caveat of the small sample size. So LSU has actually been pretty good at avoiding trouble with the players that they have brought in. And I would also include for the 2023 class, of the four players who were suspended and or arrested, two of them were transfers. Okay? Two of them were transfers. So that shows you that Brian Kelly, when it comes to high school recruiting, he has done a better job of finding players that do the right thing. Now, what I would also say, because I know recruits watch the channel, always remember, and this is kind of anecdotal looking at other recruiting classes for the SEC channel. I haven't done a specific count like I have, you know, for LSU today. But on average, there's roughly two to about four players per class at other SEC schools that get arrested or suspended. So if you are a 2024, 2025, 2026 recruit watching this right now, be on your best behavior. There are plenty of people. And this isn't a Toviano thing. I don't want anyone to take it this way. But there are people that are going to provoke you for doing bad things because they're jealous of you. They're jealous of the brand you get to represent. They're jealous you get to do something that every football player dreams of doing, which is running through the goalposts for LSU. People will make an example out of you. They will. So whenever something like this happens, I hope it's a wake-up call for all the players that still play. All right? If you think what you are doing is shady in any shape, form, or fashion, do not do it. Always surround yourself with like-minded people. Okay? Don't do dumb stuff. And once again, we don't know all the Toviano details. Heck, we still don't know all the Trey Holly details. But be smart. Understand your surroundings because you don't want to be the recruit that makes the recruiting class and the LSU brand or just any school you represent, the family you represent, your friends, your communities. You don't want that to come back on you. Okay? So we'll see what happens. Very weird, bizarre story. And I cannot say how many times today I've gotten the message, what the hell was he thinking? I don't know. But I repeat, the details of this happening on two separate days, back-to-back days, and the fact that this all happened in the last couple of weeks. I have a lot of questions. The journalism degree in me has a lot of questions. So we shall move on. But this was asked of me twice. There's not an issue with the program. There's not. All the arrest suspension data proves that to be true. And I actually didn't count two or three from 2012 to 2020 because from what I understand, it was, you know, drug charges. So there was a few arrests and suspensions I didn't include in the 2012 to 2020 data. So LSU has been pretty good at this over the last couple of years when it comes to avoiding trouble. And hopefully it stays that way. Once again, hopefully it does. Now, is that a Mike Prima Chronic 9 says, who are the corners right now? So I will say this as far as like the depth chart is concerned. This further puts Woodland, Alexander, and Stamps as your corners. And we'll see where J.K. Johnson is in his development and him coming off the injury. He is plenty fast enough to play Division I Power 5 football. But we'll see where he is. And we'll see where some of these other transfers. Jair Brown is very interesting. We'll see where they are in their development. The one name I would keep in mind, and I hate to say this, especially considering this is a kind of sort of position switch for him, but Michael Turner is a very interesting player. When it comes to pure speed, there's probably maybe two or three guys that are faster than him on this team right now. I would probably put Chris Hilton, Watkins, maybe Caden Durham that are faster than him on this team. Michael Turner can fly. So athletically, I think even though he is not a big guy, he is tiny. Speed-wise, he is good enough to play Division I Power 5 football right now. Right now, at corner. But there's more to it than just that. There's obviously a lot more nuance of playing corner. Just because you are really fast, it does not mean anything. If it just came down to speed, Darrell Revis wouldn't have played Division I Power 5 football. Like, there's the technical aspects, there's the IQ aspect. I mean, it's interesting. Okay. So I would keep an eye out for Michael Turner. I would. I've heard good things. His high school tape is weird because, you know, he played in a run first offense. He's played, you know, wide receiver. But I think he's got juice. I do. Now, next thing. I want to touch on just the overall arc of this recruiting class. Because, you know, I tweeted this out. Now I'll put it out there. Jared, thank you for the first super chat. Hopped on a FaceTime with Jared a little bit earlier. I'll pray for him as he recovers from his surgery. I do want to put this out here as well. I played EA college football with the kid next door. Okay. So he came over here. He's a ninth grade football player. And, you know, his dad has become one of my really good friends. And, you know, you develop good relationships with your neighbors. And, you know, this kid has come over and he's played me in the soccer video game a few times. And he had been talking a lot of trash to me. Like just talking the nastiest trash. Like, I'm going to drag you across the field. I was like, okay, bring it on. Y'all, he kicked my ass today. If you're thinking about getting this college football video game, get it so you only play the game for yourself. Don't think that you can come in and beat any 14, 15-year-old in this game. They are, it's different. You are not that guy, pal. You are not. I had Alabama or Georgia. I don't remember one, whichever one. He beat me that bad. He had Louisiana Tech on the road. He just beat me 28-3. He had Louisiana Tech on the road. On the road. I'm playing with blue chips. Don't mess with, do not mess with them, bro. And like, he was calling his shot. He's like, I'm going to come to your house and destroy you. And I was like, bring it on. I play him in the soccer game. I beat him in that more often than not. I was like, okay, I'm going to beat him at least once. No, no, sir. No, If Garrett Nussmeyer would hate.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Me, all the sacks I was taking, all the pick sixes I was throwing. It's a pick six every time. I don't even like throwing. I was even reading the coverage. I'm a film analyst. I was like, okay, I throw a little stick around right here. They're playing zone. Mason Taylor find the open spot. No, pick six. It'll be defensive ends. Dude, if you're watching this from Ruston right now, there's never, you would want that to happen in real life. You are not that guy, pal. And then he started singing all these crazy, like, songs and stuff like that. And he was dry, dude. He was about to make me rage quit. I was about to go crazy. I was like, okay, this will just be fun. And he was just talking trash directly in front of me. But anyway, this is a stat we shared a little bit earlier for just joining us. Brian Kelly, top 125 recruits. 2022, he brought in 5. 2023, he brought in 6. 2024, he brought in 6. And then in 2025, he already has 10, and it's only July. Now, this has been, and that tweet of mine got passed around, retweeted 1,000 times over. This has been the number one criticism that I've received on this tweet. I don't give a damn. It doesn't mean anything until they sign. And I've said, it is fine if you feel that way. But I do have one retort to that, and it's coming up right after this. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, so it is true. A lot of you saw DeCorian Moore. He committed to LSU, said he looked up to Odell Beckham, and guess what happened? He ended up picking Oregon. He decommitted, picked Oregon, and look, could the same thing happen to DJ Pickett? Could the same thing happen to Derek Meadows? He ends up going to Notre Dame. Absolutely. It's just in the realm of possibility. You are correct. For any individual player, they very well could flip their commitment before signing day. But the likelihood that all of them do, or that more than two or three of them do, is very, very small. Very small. If LSU fields a semi-competent team and there's not a mass exodus of coaches, which there won't be, because these defensive coaches are getting paid pretty top dollar. Unless they're getting head coaching jobs, they're not going anywhere. Brian Kelly's not going anywhere. Now, if Joe Sloan gets a head coaching opportunity, or Cortez Hankton, then we can have a discussion. And I've heard quite a bit, and this was told to me by a Georgia insider. He said, Carter, I believe Cortez Hankton will be a head coach one day. Like, he really believes Cortez Hankton is head coaching material. And he could be a better head coach than he is a receiving coach. I still got the DM from that guy. And that is real. It could happen. But the likelihood that happens for multiple coaches on the staff is small. Unless you win an Natty, of course. So, yeah, it is true. And, yeah, it could happen. It's small, though. It's small. Normally, every recruiting cycle for kids you actually want to be there, kids that weren't processed or the mutual parting of ways, who you want to be in the class, they normally sign if they are committed. They normally am. They normally stay put. So I wouldn't fret it. I just wouldn't. Okay? And look, we all have our favorite players in this crop. There are some guys that are rating in the 300s that I believe should be top 100 recruits. And there are some guys in the top 100 that are committed to LSU and other schools that I feel more than likely it's going to be year two or year three until they actually find their footing in the SEC. So I think at the same time, a lot of it is still a crapshoot. But historically, if you recruit top 100 guys, those guys more often than not make it to the NFL in some capacity. They have a way higher rate than non-top 100 guys. I stretch it to the top 125 because there's now multiple composite rankings from On3 and 247 that people look at. So I go one top 125 because the way they compute their composite scores are slightly different. So if you're a top 125 guy on On3 or 247, I have a higher opinion of you just as a default, because historically those recruits hit at a way higher clip. So there you go. Now, you know, I've talked about some of the other SEC things. It did come out on Friday where people expect LSU to finish in the SEC. And the answer to that is fifth. LSU was picked to finish fifth. Okay? And look, I'm fine with that. I am fine with that. All right? I'm fine with fifth. It's not too low to where the consensus media feels LSU should be pretty good. It's also not too high where everyone's expecting you to win. So I'm fine. I'm fine with where they are. Let me pull up the exact role. Right now in the chat, though, I am interested. If you had to pick one school not named Georgia to win the SEC this year, who would you pick? One school not named Georgia to pick the SEC. Who would you pick? Thought it was also interesting. Vanderbilt got two first place votes, which is tied for LSU. Scott V, what's good? Says Tennessee. Ole Miss. Des is going Bama. I got the Bama fans at my neck. I released a deep dive on the Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, I think he's going to struggle in the DeBoer offense. I do. But we'll see. So once again, these are the first place votes. Georgia had 165, Texas at 27, Alabama 12, Ole Miss 4, Vanderbilt 2, LSU 2, South Carolina 1. And this is the projected order of finish. Georgia 1. So what the heck happened? My PS5 just kind of turned on its own. I did not click anything. Did I hit the... That is scary. It's like this thing heard me talking trash about it. It's like telling me, Carter, you need to practice the game so you don't get your ass kicked by the teenagers that live in your neighborhood. But LSU picked to finish fifth. Now, you notice it wasn't a huge margin between LSU and Missouri and LSU and Tennessee. Something else that's interesting about Missouri and Tennessee is LSU does not play either one of these teams next year. So, one positive. At TOV, I thought the chat would say more LSU, but I said not LSU, though. Which school outside of LSU and Georgia do you think could win the... Dude, it did it again. This is so crazy. My PS5 is turning on its own. I know what's happening. Okay. The kid next door still has it connected to mine. That scared the crap out of me, though. Oh, man. Scared the bejesus out of me. LSU, Missouri. Tennessee,
Oklahoma. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Oklahoma, A&M, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. Now, stop acting like an old head. What made it worse was my wife was cheering for him, too. She was like egging him on to talk more trash to me. Now, what I want you to do, I understand this is a media poll and some people just turn stuff in just for the sake of turning stuff in. But kind of like with consensus rankings. And if you play fantasy football, I'm about to give you an analytical tip. And as you guys know, I play a lot of fantasy football on Underdog Fantasy. Sign up, you know, use my promo code Carter. I give it a little deposit match bonus. But a consensus ranking normally gives you a more accurate representation of who the best schools and players and teams are. Yes, are there upsets from year to year? Of course. Missouri last year was the biggest surprise in the SEC. But normally a consensus ranking gives you a semi-accurate portrayal of how things are going to, you know, work itself out. So if you're in a fantasy football league and you're doing a draft, what you normally want to do is just take the player that's the highest on the queue. In other words, you're drafting by ADP, average draft position, which is how players are normally ranked on your, you know, fantasy rankings. So I understand this is just a media poll and some people just turn it in just for the sake of turning it in. But a lot of people do actually go through and take their vote serious. So one thing that really interests me about this media poll is how favorable everything fell for LSU going into next year. So what I'll do is you're taking a look at the predicted order of finish. I want you to now take a look at the schedule. So you see LSU's schedule. The first SEC team they play is South Carolina. Where is South Carolina predicted to finish? What, 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th. South Carolina is predicted to finish 13th. That is your first SEC game. Let's go to the next game. Ole Miss is your next SEC game. You are going to get this game coming off a bye week, and you will be at home. Ole Miss predicted to finish 4th. Go to the next SEC team. You have to travel to Arkansas. Arkansas predicted to finish 14th in the SEC. Then you have to go on the road and play Texas A&M. Texas A&M predicted to finish 9th in the SEC. You then get a bye week. You have to play Alabama, but you get that game at home, and they're predicted to finish 3rd. You then play Florida at Florida. Florida is predicted to finish 12th. You then go to Vanderbilt. Well, Vanderbilt comes to LSU. They're predicted to finish 16th. And then you play Oklahoma. Oklahoma predicted to finish 8th. So LSU this next year in the SEC, they only have to play two other top five schools in the SEC. Both of them are coming off bye week. Both of them. LSU also doesn't have to play the first place school. They don't have to play the second place school. They don't have to play the sixth place school. They don't have to play the seventh place school. And the eighth place school, you're getting to play at home after that school has to play Alabama the week before. Y'all, if we are just basing the SEC schedule on SEC projected order of finish, LSU has got the second easiest schedule in the SEC outside of Missouri. And a lot of that is factoring in how soft Missouri's out of conference is. But when it comes to the SEC schedule, LSU might have gotten the best schedule out of any team in the SEC. And you repeat this same exact SEC schedule in 2025. Yeah, Pegasus, I would highly recommend you just rewind and watch from the beginning. And by the way, if you are just joining us and you want to go back and watch anything that we might have talked about, if you're just joining in on the live stream, you can actually just click the icon, and you can do this on any service you're watching on, and rewind. You can watch the beginning. So we've talked a lot about the Toviano thing. Gino says, stop acting like an old head. AP says, I want to know who picked Vandy. That's a good point. And also a good point for Chance. You're right. The road schedule is tougher. And then, of course, you have the Clemson game in 2025. At Clemson to start things off. You're right. So 2025 will be way harder. But that kind of more so adds on to the point that things shape up really nicely for LSU this year. I know I have said it 1,000 times, But now that we got this SEC media poll, and these are, yeah, think about it. I actually trust the SEC Media Day poll more than I trust the College Football Writers AP poll because it's a more diverse group of opinions. How sick would it be if LSU plays FSU in Tiger Stadium for a playoff game if we don't get a bye? That would be pretty insane, to say the least. I'm very high on Tennessee this next year. I am. I think they're going to be pretty good. Okay. I do. Chance wants to discuss the all SEC preseason teams. We could do that. I'll pull it up. So I was very happy to see that one LSU player actually made two different all SEC teams at two different positions. So shout out. One of my favorite LSU Tigers going into next year, Xavion Thomas. Okay. So these are the LSU players that made all SEC. LSU had three first teamers. Will Campbell at left tackle, Harold Perkins at linebacker, Xavion Thomas is all purpose. LSU had three second teamers, Kyron Lacy, Mason Taylor, Emory Jones, and Major Burns on defense. And Xavion Thomas was second team return specialist. And then the third team long snapper was Slade Roy. So LSU, eight preseason all SEC players. Pretty cool stuff. Now, I do want to go in and show this clip. I plan on doing it a little bit earlier. Big 116 pound. The wink. Look at that, man. 616 pounds. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But I think Chance wanted to know, do I think there were some snubs in the all-SEC teams? From the LSU perspective, let me pull up the full team. I don't pay attention to all SEC as much as I do the team rankings. Let me show you the first team here. Okay. So first team all SEC. Carson Beck at QB. Kind of hard to argue against that. Trevor Etienne, Jarquez Hunter. Sure. Luther Burden, Trey Harris. Here's what I don't get about the All-SEC team. Why would you put two running backs but not put three wide receivers? Why wouldn't it just be one running back and three wide receivers? Because that's how most teams line up now. So would the third wide receiver have been Kyron Lacy? Maybe. I like Berrien Brown a lot. I think Squirrel White is also very interesting at Tennessee, but it's a slippery slope. Dylan Bell at Georgia is also somebody very interesting. Caden Priest-Horn at Ole Miss was first team All-SEC. We had this discussion. I think it was Blanche who actually super chatted. Priest-Horn's pretty good,
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I could see Luke Haas. I could see Oscar Delp. I could see Mason Taylor. Then we get to the offensive line. Tyler Burke, Booker, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, Tate Ratledge. I mean, Ratledge is a stud. I don't really think you can argue with any of those four. Emory Jones over Kelvin Banks? Maybe. Kelvin Banks is pretty good. We were in it for him, too. But obviously we didn't end up needing him. Well, maybe we did. He's pretty good. But our offensive line's pretty loaded. Now, defensively, James Pierce, Walter Nolan, Deion Walker, Nazir Stackhouse. That's about what I would have it as well. Pierce has got to be on there, and Walker's got to be on there. Perkins, Stutzman, Lawson, cool. Mikel Williams might be the number one pick next year. Malachi Starks. Malachi Moore, Billy Bowman, Maxwell Harrison. I'm not well-versed enough in SEC defensive back lore, but sure, I guess I need to study up on my SEC DBs. But yeah, should any of the LSU players have gotten higher up on the all-SEC totem pole, if you will? No. I'm fine with where everybody was. And definitely Will Campbell and Harold Perkins are the two biggest stars on the team. So the fact that they're both first teams, sure. Now, could Garrett Nussmeier get first team? Yeah, he very well could. He very well could. You know, if our defense isn't good next year and we play in a lot of shootouts, Now, if you're tuning in and it's the first time you've watched this week, I do want to point out that our next PHO get-together is this Saturday in Shreveport. Shreveport Card Show. Saturday, July 27th and 28th. Only $2 to get in. It's well worth it. You'll get to hang out with yours truly. Everyone that comes, and if you say you're a PHL viewer, guess what? I'm going to hook you up with something. It might be a Jamar Chase card. It might be a Nicholas Brissett auto. It could be anything. But come on by. Shreveport. And the address, 735 American Way in Shreveport, Louisiana. Let me see. This was interesting from Will. Tweeted me, Carter, are you ever going to bring the show back to Twitter? I'm still deciding whether Elon's going to get my $8 a month just for me to stream my show on Twitter. We shall see. I don't know. But I did get a question via Twitter. Carter, do you think Derek Meadows, there was some extra gusto? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Was there some extra gusto because he was going to go to Notre Dame? Did LSU up the ante, if you will, to go get him? The answer to that is probably not. I don't think, especially like 3 years after the fact, that LSU is doing some victory lapping versus a team they don't even play anymore. If this was year one or year two of Brian Kelly, sure. Is it extra spicy getting a receiver that went to the school that just took your offensive coordinator? Sure. Yeah. It does feel good for Brian Kelly that you hurt Notre Dame in the process. But these are also a few things. The first is Notre Dame missed out on two other wide receivers that they are recruiting. So that's one thing. The next thing, when I was doing research on Derek Meadows, is I think, and I feel this is fair to say, and I don't want anyone to go just crazy over this, but I watched an interview he did on his Tennessee visit, and he seemed legit excited about the SEC culture. And when you really think about it, if you play your high school football in Las Vegas, where the weather is warm and you are in Vegas, does the South look more like Vegas? SEC schools, party schools, warm weather, SEC culture, or is South Bend, Indiana more like Vegas? Archaic, brutal winters. The kid looked really excited on his Tennessee visit. I'm not going to lie. And it seemed as if he really wanted to play in the SEC. So, if he didn't pick LSU, it would not have shocked me if he would have picked Tennessee or Alabama. So, I think the kid did not really want to end up going to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame historically recruits these really big wide receiver targets hard. If you go all the way back to the Jeff Samardzija days, remember when LSU beat that Brady Quinn, Jeff Samardzija team in the Sugar Bowl? A lot of their best receivers are bulky, thick, big dudes. A lot of 6'3", 6'4", kind of guys. Whether it's tight end or receiver, they've always recruited those big bodies. So, yeah, you know, I think LSU really wanted him. I don't think it had anything to do with the kid being at Notre Dame, but it does add a little extra something. And it would be very nice if LSU and Notre Dame played again. Let's go to Scott. His coach is a former UT wide receiver. Bishop Gorman? Okay, interesting. Scott knows his stuff, man. I'll also include this. I want, and anybody that LSU goes to recruit, I want them to be a part of the school. At the same time, though, when a kid commits, I am always going to be more positive. And the younger the player is, whether I'm doing a film study of current players, if you're a true freshman out there making a mistake, you notice I hardly ever criticize a true freshman. Hardly ever, because it's really hard. And the same thing is true for a high school prospect. I hardly ever say anything bad at all. But at the same time, 50% of your kids work out and 50% of them don't. So I always hate it when I see like a high school evaluation where they don't poke holes into any prospect's tape. Now, I also don't think you should just trash a kid. But at the same time, if you actually evaluate players, tell me how you really feel about the player. And with Derek Meadows, it is interesting that he only caught 15 passes last year. Now, notice, I didn't say that that is a bad thing. It's not necessarily what you want to see, but I included in the video why he only caught 15 passes. Bishop Gorman is a very run-first offense. They have a lot of offensive linemen that go to college football. They had a running back who committed to Michigan. They also ran a lot of blowouts, so you're not really throwing as much if you're up by a lot. Also, and I think this can hurt Bishop Gorman recruits, they have all the best recruits every single year. Like, if you were to go look at every recruiting class of Nevada recruits, every year, Bishop Gorman has at least five of the top 10. And normally, it's at least five of the top seven or eight. Their teams are insanely stacked. Insanely stacked. So you're not really getting much competition. They've lost one game in the last 2 years, and that was to Mater Dei High School, which is arguably the best high school football program in America. That's the only game that they've lost. So if you're a Bishop Gorman, your practices are oftentimes your best competition. So in Derek Meadows' defense, the first thing is
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
When he catches a football, it goes for a lot of yards. He averaged, what, like 26 yards per catch? And the second thing is he had to share targets with Zachariah Branch, who's at USC now. He had to share targets with Elijah Holden, who's a tight end at Miami now. Obviously, the running back that went to Michigan. So he had to share a lot of touches. But now those guys are not there. And you would like to see a more dominant stat line. But even if he doesn't produce that, it's not the be-all end-all. It's just one point of a player's evaluation. Kind of like their recruiting ranking. It's just one point of a player's evaluation. So if I ever say something that could be perceived as, you know, a put-down or whatever, it's not necessarily a put-down because there are no prospects that are flawless. Right. I think what can be toxic is people do recruiting evaluations and they only just go crazy over their highlights because it is a highlight reel. You don't really see any negative plays, right? Because it wouldn't be your highlight reel. So you honestly, if I'm watching and there's a lot of people that do they'll post the huddle clips or whatever. And it's just like you going crazy or the highlights or whatever. I mean, anyone could do that. Anyone. But I can also say this after watching Derek Meadows quite a bit, watching, some 7-on-7 stuff, some camp stuff, talking to a few people I trust when it comes to their evaluations. There is in his range of outcomes outside chance he turns into Johnny Wilson or a Kyle Pitts. I mean, it's possible. You know, would I rather a player who caught 15 passes but was the track and field athlete of the year in Nevada as a hurdler, as a 6'6" receiver? Or would I prefer a 3-star who caught 50 balls? I would prefer the 15 catch, all state, 6'6" hurdler. Because your range of outcomes is higher. I mean, he himself compared himself to Randy Moss, Derek Meadows. You've got to be pretty bold to say on 247 Sports, and by the way, that was a pre-recorded announcement that they did. You have to be pretty bold to on the video say, yeah, I compare myself to Randy Moss. I like that confidence first off, but you could see it. You know, he's not going to be that good because he would be the best wide receiver ever at LSU, which I don't think is going to happen. But is it in the range of outcomes if you are a legit best hurdler in your state at 6'6"? Sure. You could see it if it all comes together. Okay. And I say Johnny Wilson as a potential, I wanted to give like a middle tier, really good player and then give you the absolute highest potential. Do I think he's going to be Randy Moss? I would bet quite a bit of my life savings that he won't. I could see Kyle Pitts, though. I really could. Still highly doubt that because Kyle Pitts is a unicorn in and of himself. So, yeah. AJ Green, I saw Brian say AJ Green in the video that we released. AJ Green, sure. But I also want to uplift Teron Francis because he's not a 5-star. He's just your typical middle-tier Louisiana 4-star who's just a stud. He's just solid. I like Teron Francis. Solid. Meat and potatoes wide receiver. Good athlete. Good hands. Good player. And I think LSU's vantage point is this. Look, we can get solid. We got solid in Teron Francis. We should swing for the fences for Derek Meadows. Because if he hits and he becomes a more polished route runner and his hands become consistent and he becomes a higher target earner, if all those things happen, he's going to be ridiculous. Now, the next thing I would say about Derek Meadows is, and this is a case for all pass catchers, are you willing to earn it? If you got to LSU and things didn't work out in year one, are you willing to stay an extra year? Because some guys don't want to compete. They just don't. They want to go to a school where they're guaranteed a single-digit number. They're guaranteed more immediate playing time. Sure, go to Mississippi State. They'll give that to you. But, I mean, you really got to work for it. You really do. Everybody, welcome JW Crunch. Yeah, well, look, that's what he said. And I'm not putting words in his mouth. Matt wants me to give my money to Elon. What's up, man? Here's Al's question. Are you going to any home games this year? So there's two games I'm going to for sure. Going to LSU-USC. I am also going to LSU-Arkansas on Fayetteville. game means a lot. That's where my wife and I started talking. Which home games are we going to? I'd like to go to Ole Miss. I'd like to go to Oklahoma, to be honest. But more than likely, I'll be going to Alabama. More than likely. Forbes, good to see you. Carvis, off the top rope. You know, I saw Pierce, let me know if you're still watching. Pierce posted this in the chat. LSU could have a formation in 2025 of Kamarion Pimpton, 6 foot six, Tre'Davious Green, 6 foot six, Derek Meadows, 6 foot six. Put Kylan Billiott out there, 6 foot three. That's insane. That's insane. Now, what's going to be interesting, Carvis, as far as like these 6 foot six, because every 6 foot six wide receiver, every 6 foot six wide receiver gets the same compliment. He's a matchup nightmare. Oh, really? No, no. I'm interested to see which one of these three turns out to be the guy. You would like to think one of them turns out to be unbelievably dominant. Y'all, the Bama fans are after me. And my my Jalen Milroe video got a bunch of Bama fans pissed off. And I get it. I totally understand it. But I'll talk about it so I'm here. You know, Jalen Milroe is getting compared to Jaden Daniels a lot. Hey, it's just out there. And look, and before you just throw that out, a lot of the same skepticisms of Jaden Daniels going in to last year apply to Jalen Milroe now. They're both obscenely mobile, dual threat playmakers who take a lot of sacks and don't commit a lot of turnovers, have high QBRs, and give your team high floors. Okay. So a lot of people are making those comparisons between Jaden and Milroe. And look, we were talking about range of outcomes with Derek Meadows a minute ago. Is that possible with Jalen Milroe? Yeah. Like, yeah, he could. He could take that leap. But one thing that is kind of more common than not common are these massive Heisman leaps from quarterbacks that kind of came out of nowhere. Okay. So Stetson Bennett had a massive leap his final year of a starter. Massive. We don't talk about it enough. Bo Nix, massive leap in his final year as a starter. We would have never thunk early Bo Nix would have done what he did. Same thing with Joe Burrow. Same thing with Michael Penix, whose coach is now with Jalen Milroe. Michael Penix had a ridiculous leap. So there are plenty of people that are expecting this with Jalen Milroe. And Jalen Milroe is the most fun.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Unstoppable player on the new EA Sports College Football video game. It is insane some of the clips that people are tweeting out about this guy. He is Michael Vick on this video game. Okay. The difference, though, is everything I laid out in the video on Power SEC. So if you want to see it for yourself, go ahead. But all those names that I just mentioned, they were turned everybody. And the thing that people do not get right about predicting college football success is continuity matters. All those guys, Stetson Bennett, Joe Burrow, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, they returned their best receivers. Those guys returned their tight ends, returned most of their offensive lines, returned their head coaches, returned their offensive coordinators, returned their running backs. Sure, they lost a few pieces. Jaden Daniels lost a good player in Jahre Jenkins, but most of those players are back. Stetson Bennett lost some good players on that first national championship team, but they still had Bowers. They still had McConkey. They still had Adonai Mitchell. Bo Nix still had Troy Franklin, Bucky Irving, his play caller. Michael Penix still returned what he returned. Joe Burrow returned what he returned. Jalen Milroe is not returning hardly anything. His best receiver and tight end went to Texas. Don't you think that they felt super comfortable with Jalen Milroe throwing him the football that they would have stayed? Yeah, sure, they were probably paid. They were probably given a Lambo. But in the interview that Isaiah Bond gave to ESPN, he said the reason he left was partially because of Nick Saban. Sure, if I'm a recruit, I would think about leaving if Nick Saban wasn't there anymore. But he also said the main reason he left is because this was a draft decision. And if he felt truly comfortable that Jalen Milroe was going to take a leap forward, he would have stayed. And one thing that Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. did not get enough credit for is, do you know how much money those two could have made on the open market? You know how much money Malik Nabers could have gotten? Malik could have gotten $1 million from a school, really. But they actually trusted Jaden Daniels to take that leap. They saw enough. And there, another reason why I don't think Milroe will be Jaden is Milroe really rubs me the wrong way in some of the interviews that he's done. And I understand that that is going to come off extremely biased because I'm LSU through and through and Alabama's the enemy and all of that. But if you really listen to every single interview Jaden Daniels gave last year during, you know, the Manning Academy and all these different things, every single interview he did was, yeah, I'm good, but I need to get better at throwing deep. I need to get better at being decisive. I need to get better. And he did. His release did not look the same from junior to senior year. And I listened to an interview Milroe did, and he said, look, I'm Jalen Milroe. I play quarterback different than everyone else. And it kind of sounded like he has everything figured out, which he doesn't. So I don't know if he wants to change and make the changes that Jaden and Joe and Stetson and all these other great quarterbacks did. So I do not think Milroe's going to take that leap. I just don't. It could come back to bite me. And there's a lot of like actual football data that I went into. But could he? Yeah. Could he take a leap and Alabama run the table? Sure, it's potentially there, but I don't see it. I just don't. Yeah, Milrow, like, Amicat has played the game probably more than me. Vince Young is a pretty good comparison for Milrow in the video game. Like, he is so freaking good on the game. All right, so we have another Toviano thing going on in the chat. Yeah, dude, Forbes, I'm terrible. I'm so terrible. Yeah, that's funny, Al. Huh? It's crazy. Georgia fan, sick of an Alabama fan. Funny inside joke. You saw it, though, Al. Now, one final thing on Milrow is it's going to be hard for him to not, for him to just be bad. Like, I don't think he's going to be bad because he's too good of a playmaker to be bad. Right? I just don't think for him to hit a ceiling outcome, he's a fit for what Kalen DeBoer wants out of his quarterback. And I also will say, as bad as Jaden Sacks' issues were, his first year at LSU, Milrow sacks were worse. And if you really took a look at Jaden Sacks, Jaden did not take a lot of bad sacks. He took a lot of sacks, but they were rarely for like huge yardage losses, if that makes sense. Yeah, Forge, you got me. My life in Arkansas would be a lot easier if I was an Arkansas fan, I'll tell you that. Going to high school in Arkansas when your whole family, cousins, aunts, uncles, all live within 30 miles of Baton Rouge is not easy. And I understand the Toviano thing. I mean, there's a lot of different explanations about what could have happened. There are a lot. There are a lot of things about it, though, that just makes you say, this is just insane that there were two separate instances of this happening. Two different videos that she found on the iPad dated on two different days. So they would have had, in theory, consensual intercourse on two separate days. And it was secretly filmed. And all within the past couple of weeks, she found it on the iPad. Yeah, it's plausible. Very plausible. But I understand, like, if something serious comes out and you have LSU stuff all around you and you're an LSU channel, I would be saying this about an Alabama kid, a Tennessee kid, whoever. There are a lot of details that, you know, are still out there. That's a good point, female perspective from Danny Girl. If you're raising boys, use this as a teachable moment about consent. Exactly. And look, there are so many different, like, explanations for how all of this could have happened. And I understand that some of you watching this are like, well, what could he have been set up? I don't know. The only thing that Toviano cannot come back from is if he shared the video with other teammates, or if there's proof of him bragging about doing this to team or just other people in general, then you cannot come back from that. That's tough. But yeah, like I said, we'll see how it all plays out. Okay. It's going to Amicat. I blame a lot of Alabama's offensive issues on the center and all the bad snaps. Yeah, I mean, I like Bama's offensive line going into next year. I think Proctor will be better. They got a transfer coming in from Washington. They have Booker, who's all SEC. It's tough. But one final thing about Toviano before we get into, and I'll just let it be. And I do think this is important. There's different laws in different states for all of this. So I don't know all the Louisiana laws for this kind of stuff. But now, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it moving. And we'll go all night. We'll go all night. 40-ish days away. It's crazy. It is still insane how many people to me go to the beach. People freaking love the beach, man. I don't know. One shark attack is enough for me. Things you can say on bourbon and things you can say at the beach. Type Y for yes, type N for no. You have vacationed on the beach in the last 5 years with record high temperatures. I don't think I'll be going to a beach again. Danny, you're a beach girl. Amicat says I can't swim. But this is my thing, Amicat. Does anyone actually swim on the beach? You don't go deep enough in the ocean to swim, right? And, you know, I think, and this happened to a few football players. They've had, and when you think about football players, I mean, these are some of the most athletic people. A current can take you and might not be any coming back from it. There's sharks and stuff out there. I'm serious. No joking matter. Oh, Brian, wow. Should I put the other comment up, Brian? I'm not going to. I just left the beach. I don't know. I'm just not a. Brian, you go to the gym a lot, so you got a beach bod. You got to show it off. Jared, are we going? We will be going next year. This is always it. So I get this a lot. Lay out in the sun on the sand. But some people go to the beach just to swim in the hotel pool. I could do that in Kansas. I mean, the Days Inn in Kansas has a nice pool. If you're lucky, you can get a jacuzzi for $125 a night. Yeah, Gino, it's sad. Like, you know, when I saw the movie Interstellar, like a lot of these like deep thought movies like mess with my head. Interstellar didn't really scare me. Like when they're out in space or whatever floating, yeah, that didn't scare me. What scares me is the damn ocean. I mean, if you ever actually research how deep the ocean is and how many things are down there, like that, honestly, I think SpongeBob was only created by ocean propagandists just to make you feel like the ocean is somewhat friendly. And there's a bunch of SpongeBobs and Patrick's and pineapples and clarinet playing squids that just have bad attitudes. No, the bottom of the beach sucks. As I said, the beach of the ocean sucks. Like, if there was ever a worldwide or a national news story tragedy that I had hardly any sympathy for, it was those people in that little tin can, submarine, whatever. What the hell are you thinking? And people have done like animations about what happened. The water pressure was so tight, they just turned into powder, basically. The bottom of the ocean scares me. Put me next to freaking Saturn before you put me 12 feet underwater in the ocean. I see people with their little snorkels, like driving by fish, puffer fish, seeing sharks with their little web feet going around. If something happens to you, that's on you. Don't mess with the ocean, y'all. Don't mess with it. The ocean is not meant to be effed with. My biggest fear is drowning, too. My biggest fear is drowning. I've had so many nightmares of driving my car in a lake and there's nothing I could do. That means I was drowned in a previous life. I won't be dreaming about that all night now. I know, Mike. I mean, you might find Leonardo DiCaprio down there, but that's it. I know. Okay, Chance, I think about it's the Chiefs player, right? Sad. What does it say about humanity that we can put a man on the moon and make several trips to Mars, but we can't quite reach the bottom of the ocean? It means get the F away from it. There is nothing I want to do on the water. Nothing. Nothing. I went on a boat trip. Was it 2 years ago? And like their little navigation device got lost. And we're just somewhere. I don't even know exactly where we were. Somewhere in Louisiana. And I was like, while we're in the middle of the ocean, like our water, wherever we were, lost. I was like, there is nowhere I would not want to be more than right here, right now. Lost in the big body of water. And then like, next thing you know, Life of Pi. Part two is happening. There's a freaking tiger in our boat. But yeah. Well, that's it for me. Big shout out to our top and only super chatter, the great Jared Addison. Appreciate you, big dog. And we will be, I don't know. I might stream some EA college football on the LSU channel. I did some on the SEC channel on Friday. I played as Arkansas. I kind of want to play as Alabama to see what the Milroe hype is about. But there you go. It is! Pow, ow, LSU, boom! Don't forget, not this Saturday, but the next. Shreveport Card Show. Location. 735 American Way in Shreveport. $2 entry fee. You have any questions, hit me up at Card of the Power or at Power Hour LSU on social media. We'll talk to you soon. And tonight, we are doing... oh, some low main. Let's go.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all.